Being a private investigator means two things. You can be sure you'll run into trouble, and you can never be sure you'll get out of it. Well, there's not much you can do about it, I guess. Except, like Julie always says...
Walk softly, Peter Troy.
And now, Peter Troy and the lady who loved larceny.
That girl Julia met a moment ago. She'll be back in a while, because if she isn't, my office is liable to fold. But right now, I'd like you to meet a blonde. A platinum blonde. A tall, elegantly dressed blonde. Willowy, smooth, and very, very expensive.
£11,000? That's a great deal of money to pay for a bracelet, isn't it?
Match diamonds and rubies, madam.
Oh, I wasn't complaining. But if my fiancé is to pay that much... then I should be very careful about my selection, shouldn't I?
The gentleman standing over by the door.
Yes.
Well, perhaps if he were to come over.
Oh, dear me, no. Poor Jonathan knows nothing about jewelry. He's just content to pay the bill. I should like to see a selection of bracelets in this price group.
Oh, certainly, madam. I'll get them from the safe. We have some really exquisite pieces here in our latest collection. Now, if you care to have a look in this tray... I'm sure you'll find something you like.
Oh, I'm sure I will. In fact, I like them all. Be so kind as to place them in this bag.
In the...
And make no sudden movements. This gun is loaded, and I shall have no compunction in using it if I have to. And please don't try to ring the alarm bell. I know exactly where it is situated, and I shall pull the trigger if you make a move towards it.
You can't get away with this, you know.
I can, and I will. The gentleman by the door is watching you very carefully. He's my accomplice. And he also carries a gun. Now, those bracelets in my bag, please. And hurry. Thank you. You've been most cooperative. You may give the alarm once I'm outside the door. Not before, if you value your life. Good afternoon.
Jackson, quickly, come in here. We've been robbed.
Beautifully executed job. The platinum blonde got clean away together with 35,000 pounds worth of diamond bracelets. However, the police did grab her accomplice, who turned out to be a Mr. Gerard Smythe. But thereby hangs the paradox. For Mr. Smythe maintained that he'd taken no part in the holdup. The police, naturally enough, didn't believe him. So it is we come to the second lady in the case, a tall, elegantly dressed lady. Only this one had hair as dark as midnight on the Nile. Julie ushered her into my office, and she introduced herself as...
Smythe. Geraldine Smythe, Mr. Troy.
Won't you sit down, Miss Smythe?
Thank you.
Cigarette?
Please.
Smythe.
That's right.
Geraldine Smythe? Gerard Smythe.
He's my brother.
Ah.
I gather you read the account of the holdup in the newspapers.
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, it's right here in front of me.
And what could you make of it, Mr. Troy?
Well, it seems your brother didn't move fast enough.
Do you really believe he was her accomplice?
Miss Smythe wasn't there. I just know what I read in the papers, that's all. But here they seem to go along with the idea that the two of them were in the thing together.
I have here £100 in cash. I should like to retain your services to prove that Gerard had nothing whatsoever to do with that holdup.
I see. One question, Miss Smythe.
Yes?
Did he?
Did he what?
Oh, come on now.
Mr. Troy...
You're offering me that money for one of two reasons. Either you know he was part of the setup and you want me to somehow break the police case against him.
Or
else you're on the level. You honestly don't think he had anything to do with the stick-up. Well, I'd just like to know which it is, that's all.
I see.
Now, before we go any further, you'd better know that I wasn't born yesterday. £100 or 100 times that amount doesn't make me want to go along with any snide deal.
Mr. Troy, if you have any idea...
I value my license, Miss Smythe. Well, there are some people around this city who'd like to revoke it. Unorthodox we may be, but crooked... we are not. Now, do I make myself clear? If your brother was involved in that robbery, then he's going to have to take the rap. Well, I've said my piece. Now you say yours.
My brother has a police record, Mr. Troy.
Well, it's been nice talking to you, Miss Smythe.
At present, he's bankrupt. In the past, he's foolishly written out checks when there have been no funds to meet them. He's silly, stupid, thoughtless. But he is not a criminal.
Hmm. Well, what's the story, then?
A woman rang him up yesterday morning. She was able to copy my voice exactly. She made an appointment to meet Gerard at Matilliers at 2:30 that same afternoon.
And at 2:35, Matilliers was robbed of £35,000 worth of diamond bracelets.
And Gerard was there. You see, he thought he was meeting me. Well, the police don't believe the story. No one does. I doubt whether you'll prove an exception. But I thought...
Sit down again, Miss Snythe.
You mean...
We've got a lot of things to discuss.
You're going to take the case?
And not just for the money, either. Well, my creditors would kill me for saying that.
Then...
Now, I'll soon know if you're handing me a phony line. If you are, you're going to be very sorry, Geraldine.
I assure you, Mr. Troy.
Now, Peter, it saves time. Well, now, let's have Julie in and get some of this down in writing.
That man with the red head at the corner table?
Yes, Peter Troy, Canadian. Harry says he's a private eye, dangerous and snoopy. He's been asking questions.
About what?
About Gerard Snythe. He said someone told him that Snythe used to come here a lot.
Go on.
He seems to be checking up. He wants to know the name of any blonde woman who comes here. Rachel, he's bad medicine. He's got a tough reputation.
He's not the only one, is he? Someone told him that Snythe used to come here a lot. Geraldine, Snythe's sister. Yes, that's logical. She's probably called in a private detective to try and clear her brother.
And Troy is just the one to do it. Rachel, I don't
I'll fix it.
You can't fix a man like that.
Can't I? Don't underestimate me, Fedor. People are always doing that. And they live to regret it. Troy is going to do the same. You know, there are times, Peter, when being your private secretary and general factotum has its advantages. I bet not many working girls get taken to places like the club, Rachel.
Well, that's fine, Julie, but may I remind you we're here on business? Geraldine said...
Geraldine?
Miss Smythe said that her brother used to haunt this place. Okay, so the girl who rang him up posing as a sister knew him and her. It has to be only a passing acquaintance, otherwise Gerard would have recognized the girl in the jewelry store, recognized her immediately.
So you think perhaps it's someone who's met him quite casually?
Yeah, probably in some place like this. I don't see any platinum blondes here.
Though. Oh, please.
Hmm?
I'm going to tell you some of the facts of life.
Such as?
A lady's crowning glory can take on as many hues and colors as the rainbow.
So?
Bleach and hair dye. She may have been a platinum blonde when she held up that jewelry shop, but she could be brunette, redhead, raven, or bald by now.
Raven?
Raven. Like Geraldine Smythe. I just like to know what color her hair is at the roots.
You, my sweet, have a nasty, suspicious mind.
It comes from working for a nasty, suspicious boss. Only where the ladies are concerned, he's sometimes just a babe in arms.
Excuse me, Mr. Troy.
Yeah?
You're wanted on the telephone, sir, a Miss Geraldine Smythe.
Oh, where's the phone?
You can take it over at the reception desk, sir.
Thank you. Excuse me, Julie. Back in 2 weeks. Hello, this is Peter Troy.
Oh, hello, Mr. Troy. This is Geraldine. Oh, I'm so glad I caught you. I thought you'd be at the club, Rachel. Look, I've just found out something of vital importance.
Oh, yeah?
I can't tell you about it over the phone, and I can't come to the club. Can you meet me right away?
Well,
there's a little park just 2 blocks down from the club, on the opposite side of the road. I'll be sitting on the bench by the fountain. Hurry, please.
Now, wait, Uncle. Hey, waiter.
Yes, sir.
Look, would you tell the lady at my table I've been called away urgently? I won't be long. And see that she has anything she wants for
her? Very good, sir. But you and Mr. Troy, sure. It's just about the start. And Madame Rachel, the owner of the club, has a fabulous act.
Yeah, well, I'll catch her next time.
Very good, sir. I'll give the lady your message, Mr. Troy.
Apologies, Mr. Troy. Don't turn around.
And this thing will go off. You really fell for her line, didn't you, Mr. Troy?
Yes, I really did.
Together with her apologies, Geraldine sends you a little present, Mr. Troy.
At Lotus?
Look at the fountain. Keep your eyes on it, Troy. Look at the cool, dark water. Not very deep, is it? But a man could drown there.
I believe you.
Oh, but don't take my word for it. Let me prove it to you. Yes, a man could quite easily drown in there.
Well, it didn't look so good for Geraldine Smythe. Right then, it didn't look so hot for me either. A million years, I wouldn't have guessed there was a trap waiting for me in that little park. The guy, whoever he was, had slugged me with the butt of his gun. Oh, I guess I'd have passed out, but he gave me a push into a fountain. Cold water brought me back to earth with a bang. I lay possum in the water for a second or two, waiting for him to make his next move. Then things got a little confused, because I distinctly heard his footsteps running off. I still made no move. I just lay face down, holding my breath, listening. And sure enough, moments later, I heard some footsteps coming back. Then a hand grabbed the back of my coat collar. I swung around, ready to land it.
Take it easy, Troy.
Caswell.
Come on
now. Let me give you a hand out of that.
Let's see you on.
Come on, up you go.
That's Caswell. Inspector Caswell. Now, what in the blue blazes are you doing here?
Yes, well, I suppose I could ask you the same question. Yeah, there must be some bylaw about swimming in city fountains.
Thanks for the help. Well, how did you get in the scene?
Quite simple. You see, we've had Geraldine Smythe under surveillance since we arrested her brother. She came to your office, so we put a shadow on you, too.
Oh, thank you. You're as bad as Mellonby.
Yeah, we saw you go to the Club Rachel. An hour later, our man saw you leave the place in the very devil of a hurry. He radioed me because he thought you were on something. So I took a police car and came straight out here. Well, lucky I did, it seems.
Tell me, did you see anyone running away from here?
No, not actually. I heard someone, but too dark to catch up with him now. Who was he? I
haven't got the faintest idea.
So, you know, you really do get yourself into some scrapes, don't you?
Yeah.
Bless you. Hello. Better get him some dry clothes. You'll catch your death of cold.
Inspector, I nearly caught my death of drowning. And on 2 feet of water, that's humiliating.
Yes. Well, come along. Over to the car. Don't tell me anything about it.
You know about as much as I do. Geraldine Smythe offered me an ice bath to see if I could find some evidence that would clear a brother.
A bit of an optimist, aren't you? Got a cast iron case against Smythe.
All right. Maybe his cute little sister is the stick-up artist after all. The guy that slugged me said it was her idea. And she phoned me at the Club Rachel to meet her here. Yeah. All seems to add up. Yes, wait a minute.
She phoned you at the Club Rachel?
Yes, 10 minutes ago.
Well, don't be silly. That's impossible.
Now, look, Maury, I tell you...
I tell you that Geraldine Smythe has been sitting in a cinema in Leicester Square for the past 2 hours, and there's a Scotland Yard man sitting right behind her. I had a report from him during the interval. He hasn't been out of his sight. So she couldn't have phoned you.
Now, look, I know what I... Now, wait a minute. Maybe that figures.
How do you mean?
A salesman at a jewelry store said the woman spoke with an exaggerated accent, right?
Yeah.
Before that, Gerard Smythe received a phone call from someone whose voice was exactly like his sister's.
Yeah.
Then I get a phone call, and I'd swear it was Geraldine Smythe. Yeah. Maury, we're looking for someone who's very clever at disguising their voice.
Mimic.
And a mighty good one, too. And another thing. That guy at the fountain didn't intend to kill me at all. He could have used that gun and still escaped.
Oh, here we are. I'll be in. Driver, take us to Mr. Troy's flat in Chelsea, will you? It's just down the way from his office.
Very good, sir.
All right. So he didn't intend to kill you?
Now, he just wanted me to think Geraldine had sent him. An attempt to frame her. They want me to think that she and her brother worked together on the holdup.
Well, by diverting attention from someone else.
Yeah.
Troy, are you asking me to believe that this was a solo job?
Well, it looks like it to me.
I wonder.
Look, I got that phone call at the Club Rachel, right? Now, only my secretary and Geraldine Smythe knew I was going there.
Yeah.
So the call had to come from a tip-off from the club. Now, the answer just has to be there somewhere.
He really did have to change his suit, Miss Summers. I'll vouch for that.
You backing him up instead. Now, that's what I call an unholy alliance. Anyway, you missed a darn good tour, sir, Peter, and I had crepe Suzette smothered in brandy and another bottle of Versailles.
Well, bang goes our commission on this job. Anyway, let's have a look at the menu. I'm starving. The dinner's on me, Maury, and...
Well, thank you.
Well, I'll be...
What's the matter? Price is too steep?
The program of the floor show is listed on the other side of the menu.
Yeah, well, what about it?
A star attraction. Here, read it.
Well, by popular demand, Madam Rachel, your hostess, returns to the footlights to give you her impressions of famous voices from stage and screen.
Yeah, impressions of famous voices. Get it? She's an impersonator, a mimic.
Just a minute, are you trying to say that the owner of this club is a stick-up artist?
Well, you missed the act. It was fabulous.
Julie, you see her? She anywhere around the place?
Yes, over by the reception desk, the tall redhead.
Redhead? We're looking for a platinum blonde.
Now, Julie, explain the facts of life to the inspector, will you?
Just a minute, where are you going?
Somewhere backstage, you must have a dressing room. If I find a bottle of peroxide and a bottle of hair dye in that dressing room, then I think we're onto something, Inspector.
Now, listen, Troy.
Now, wait a minute, there's nothing to stop me having a look back there, is there? I don't need search warrants for that.
Oh, dear. There's going to be trouble. I just know it.
No wonder Mellonby was so keen to get away on his vacation. Troy and trouble are practically synonymous.
That's a familiar voice.
You're one of these fellows who just can't take a hint, aren't you?
Well, so I've been told.
Yes. You find anything of interest, Troy?
Well, I didn't find what I was looking for.
Like what?
There was something else.
Hmm?
What? This platinum blonde wig. You know, I'll bet it fits snugly over Rachel's red hair, huh?
You've just talked yourself into the grave, Foy.
Harry, what's he doing here?
Snooping. He's found the blonde wig.
I see.
So do I. Now.
It's not going to do you any good, Mr. Troy.
The car's outside.
Take him somewhere quiet. A drive in the night air will do you both good.
All right, move, Troy. And no funny business. With all that racket going on in the club, no one would hear a shot. We're making for the back door. It's opposite in the corridor.
Late show, Sally. Clear the curtain.
You know, it's too bad I didn't get to see your act, Rachel.
You've got a free sample of it over the house phone, Mr. Troy. You'll excuse me, I know. I have to get ready for the late show. I'll leave you in Harry's very capable hands.
Now, Troy, as we walk out into the corridor, keep your eyes straight in front of you. And remember, I'm right behind you. And I don't much care where I let you have it.
Come on, you girls. Turn, Mr. Curtin. Place it now. Come on, Mr. Curtin. Place it now.
Keep moving, Troy.
Hi, Harry.
Yeah.
Ask him if he wants to do anything after the show.
Get out of the way, you girls. Ladies, I love you.
Let the gun go off now, Harry, and you'll really start to riot.
But I'm warning you.
Oh,
that's for the ducking, Harry.
Just a little difference of opinion, ladies, that's all.
On your feet, Harry.
And you just remember I can squeeze the trigger on this gun of mine quicker than you can reach for yours.
Boy, I'll kill you
inside the dressing room. Make way, girls. Come on, inside, Harry. Now, here's your playmate, Rachel. We keep each other company whilst I send one of the ladies to the chorus for a pal of mine. Inspector Caswell of Scotland Yard. He's sitting at my table.
Oh, Harry, you bungled.
Oh. Which one of you girls would like to earn a bottle of champagne?
Outside in the car. Rachel staged the stick-up, used Gerard Smythe as a diversion. It worked perfectly.
They concentrated on holding Gerard whilst Rachel made a getaway.
Exactly. Now, would you please concentrate on the music and the dancing?
Mm-hmm. Please?
Yes, honey.
That bottle of champagne, the chorus girl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just for the record, how do I list that as working?
You're the secretary, honey. It's your problem.
Yes, well, I... Oh!
What's the matter?
My feet. You're treading on them.
Sorry?
Just walk softly, Peter Troy.
Blonde wig, carefully applied makeup, a thin veil covering half the face, a very professional, exaggerated accent, and the teeth and hair of Rachel became a soft, willowy, flaxen beauty. Just about as lethal as a truckload of TNT. Oh, she needed the money from her jewelry haul to pay a stiff mortgage in a club. The place was in hot deeper than the bass fiddle's G notes. And that's why the gal with a thousand voices had to go back in front of the footlights. She found out about Gerard Smythe having a police record, and she watched his sister carefully. Watched and listened to Geraldine talking. The rest you know about. Oh, she and Harry got 10 years apiece, and the lady doesn't love Larceny anymore.